Toronto Zoomer Radio, Doug and the Slugs, and Santana on the morning Zoom with Sam and Jane. Toronto gets a brand new mayor today, the city's 66th, but only the third woman elected to the position. Olivia Chow comes with a lot of firsts, too. She's the first woman to lead Toronto's post-amalgamation megacity government, the first person of color, and the first person born outside North America to serve as Toronto's mayor. Our guest endorsed Mayor Olivia's campaign run. Toronto City Councillor Amber Morley said Olivia Chow stood out, building collective confidence and faith in her mission for an inclusive and caring city. Councillor Amber Morley, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Glad to be with you.
Councillor, let me ask you first how you've enjoyed your new job since you were first elected last October.
It's been such a thrill, an incredible privilege, and a lot of work. I've been around City Hall for about a decade. I worked previously as a staffer in a few different councillors' offices, and at that time we were still in a 44-ward scenario. So to have taken office and be responsible for one of the largest and fastest-growing wards in the City of Toronto has been quite a whirlwind, but I'm feeling really, really great and especially excited about today's big happenings with our new mayor being sworn in.
And why will Mayor Olivia be good for the city?
I think we need a little bit of a different approach than what we've seen in terms of governance at our precious city of Toronto, our City Hall. Having someone, as you mentioned, with the dynamic intersections and identities that Olivia embodies and was really representative of a lot of Torontonians, myself included, I think it's going to be a refreshing opportunity for us to look at our major challenges with fresh eyes and with a new approach and hopefully start to really tackle these longstanding and really, really challenging issues that are affecting Torontonians day in and day out.
And what do you see in her approach, which is unique and different from what we've experienced, at least in the recent past?
I think there is something to be said about the way that Olivia listens to individuals and to community members. We talked yesterday at our executive committee about the value and importance of our advisory committees, for example. We had an issue around accessibility and the TTC and some of the changes to our Wheel-Trans services. And as a grassroots community organizer myself and someone who's done a lot of advocacy and organizing over the years, I really do appreciate the fact that people most affected by challenges are often most informed about how to tackle them. And so when we have government who's really working with folks at a grassroots level on the ground on both the challenges but also understanding the solutions that are going to make a difference, instead of sort of dreaming things up in a boardroom somewhere, million miles away from the real problems, that's when I find we don't always hit the mark in terms of our investments and how we're resourcing to get to the root of different challenges and to get past them. So I'm really excited about that opportunity for real collaboration, real listening, and looking towards long-term sustainable solutions to our challenges that will ultimately, I think, serve our city very well.
What should be at the top of Mayor Olivia's priority list, Amber?
Housing is the absolute number one pressure that we're facing in our city. I think we heard that really loud and clear through the last campaign, through both last campaigns, actually, in the last year. But we are seeing this issue just be exacerbated. We've got refugees, many refugees coming into our city from across the world for many different reasons. And the city of Toronto continues to absorb that pressure, but we cannot sustain it. I've been watching the news this morning, and we're seeing refugees sleeping outside of intake centers because there's no space to go. And folks who are landing here in our city, from places like the Ukraine and others, can't afford rents in our city. So we really have to get our heads together at all levels of government because not only, is the city responsible for planning and the administration of moving development forward, but we need our partners at the province and at the federal level at the table, and really looking at this housing issue together if we hope to address it appropriately.
And Councillor, really quickly on that theme, what are your thoughts about the $1 billion budget gap and the recommendation that $300 million in capital projects may have to be put off if that money doesn't come through?
It's really concerning, and this is the kind of challenge that I really am looking forward to tackling with our new mayor. We are making these kinds of decisions in the short term is burdening our future generations, and that's not an okay way, I think, to do governance or to do business. It's unfortunately been the way that we've continued to operate over the last few years, and we really got to shake things up and figure out how we're going to balance our books, how we're going to get a better deal for our city, and how we're going to make sure that Torontonians are well served, both our existing residents and those who are coming to our city as well.
Amber Morley, Toronto City Councillor, Etobicoke Lakeshore, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you. Take care.